KXNO. Ken Miller, Trent Condon. They are Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome in. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, with you until noon. Glad you're with us, and hope you can stay with us, and hope you'll be listening for that opportunity to win $1,000 in cash. KXNO, Trent Condon, had its first winner. Cody Kessling took down. He was listening to the Sports Fanatics yesterday. And why wouldn't he be? And Cody from Kellogg, Iowa, texted the keyword and won himself $1,000. So good for him. Couple of opportunities coming up on our show. And then Murph and Andy and then the Fanatics again. Can lightning strike twice? Of course it can.
Do you know where Kellogg, Iowa is?
No, I don't. Do you?
Well, I fashion myself native as somebody that knows most everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That was one I didn't know.
Is it west of here?
It is east of here.
I knew it was either east. I've seen that. You can see the sign Kellogg on I-80, can't you?
Yes, yep.
I've seen the sign.
It is just past Newton.
Okay.
In between Newton and Grinnell, basically.
Gotcha. Would that be the rest stop?
The town is 600. It doesn't look like 600 people.
I think I can remember the sign on the, the road.
And you'd have to go about 10 miles north off the interstate to get to Kellogg. But congratulations to Cody.
Absolutely.
And, well done. We got some audio. So
you've got him?
Yes. After he found out he won, it's pretty fun here. Here's Cody and your chance to win coming up in about 15, 20 minutes.
Wow, that's amazing. Thank you so much. I've been texting in to win the prize money for weeks now, since just about this game started. Oh, man, this is amazing. That's an unbeatable feeling.
$1,000 richer.
Good for you, Cody Kessling. Absolutely. Well, if Cody can do it, so can you. So text in when you hear the, we ask you for the keyword, and we've got a couple of them this morning. Trent, so much ground to cover. Here's what's coming up on the show. I'm going to warn you right away, hockey fans or non-hockey fans, we're going to talk some NHL with Cody Kessling, with Eddie Garcia, our new best friend, Cody, with Eddie Garcia, who spends more time on KXNO than any of the local hosts.
That's true. Yeah.
He's on overnights, Clay Travis's show and Ben Mahler's show, and he's a huge hockey fan. He has a Puck podcast that is really, really popular, and he's been doing it for years. He's based in L.A., so before he goes to sleep, in about 10 minutes or so, we're going to get Eddie Garcia in here. We'll do that with him. Then we're going to talk to Mark Morehouse. We did Iowa State on Tuesday. Iowa today is Mark Morehouse. We'll slide on in here. I have a feeling we'll do a little puck with Mark as well, as he is a huge NHL fan. And we're down to the Final Four, but a lot of hot conversation with Mark. Then we're going to rely on the sporting news for a couple of guests in the 11 o'clock hour. Bill Bender got a couple of homework assignments. Well, one homework assignment. He put out the top 25 returning quarterbacks in college football. After all, it is list season.
Yes, it is.
In sports talk radio.
Is your email cleared out so you can get all those award announcements that are going to be coming here throughout the summer?
That's right, those two. Yeah, that's part of the time of year that we're in. So a couple of things. When we had Bill last week, we asked him to take a look at the schedule nationally. From your perspective, Bill Bender, national college football writer, is Iowa State a bigger game than anything else that day? As we try and, convince ourselves, maybe, not convince ESPN, but convince ourselves that we're onto something here with game day making its first appearance in Ames and doing so with the state's biggest game, the Cy-Hawk football game. So Sean Devaney will talk NFL, NBA in the 11 o'clock hour as well. Trent, a lot of ground to cover. I want to start in downtown Des Moines, where the Iowa Wild have evened their series. Mm-hmm. At two games apiece. Paul Fenton, the general manager of the Minnesota Wild, was here last night. So was Michael Russo from The Athletic, who covers the Minnesota Wild, but he's kind of come down and has been doing a lot of great coverage. If you're an Athletic subscriber and a fan of the Iowa Wild and the Minnesota Wild, you're probably aware of it, but if you're not, Russo had a really good interview yesterday with Mike Fenton. You remember when Joe O'Donnell was on the show yesterday and mentioned Jerry Mayhew, who's leading...
Yeah.
Now, leading the AHL in scoring, as he pots two last night, mentioned that he's that Mayhew's on an AHL contract. And he was asked about that. Fenton was asked about that. You know, is it time for him to get the, you know, an NHL contract? When, here's what this means. If you're on an a couple of things. I think the biggest thing is, you know, you're making nowhere near the money, obviously, you would if you're at the, if you're in the NHL. But it also means, and I think maybe just not too far below in the importance factor here. Sure, money dominates, but this allows Mayhew the opportunity to be a call-up. So if you're on an AHL contract, it's kind of like the 40-man roster.
Okay, yeah.
If you're not on it, you can't get call.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're not, if you have an AHL contract, and I'm pretty sure I'm right when I say this, you can't get called up to Minnesota. That's out of there. That's off the table. Now, if you have an NHL two-way contract and you're playing down here and there's an injury, well, you're on the plane or the bus or in a car and you're headed up to Minnesota. So that's what I believe that Joe O'Donnell was referring to.
So Mayhew has that kind of contract.
He's got an AHL-only contract.
So because of that, and say the Buffalo Sabres wanted him, would they have to work out a trade?
What, during the year, you mean?
Yes. During the course of the year.
Yes.
Or can they just...
No, I don't think they...
An NHL team can select an AHL that isn't on their team.
So you're going to the practice squad in the NFL. So if somebody's on the practice squad...
Yes.
And
an active roster wants to sign them.
Then they can pluck them off the practice squad if the team that owns his rights don't do similar.
Right.
I don't think so, Trent.
Okay.
I don't think that you can pluck a guy off an AHL roster.
It's got to be a tough spot to be.
It does. I mean, and this is a guy that led the league in scoring, for crying out loud. Right. And he's 27, or led the team in scoring, set a franchise record, and he's leading the AHL in the playoffs. So good for him and good for the Iowa Wild. Series is tied up at 2 apiece. Game number 5 on tomorrow night. I have a feeling that we're going to see a record crowd for a non-promotion event. I mean, we've seen Pink in the Rink and similar promotions, right?
Which are great.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And it introduces people maybe that never experienced the game of hockey in person to the game. I have, because there's no promotions, I can't think, on a playoff game. He didn't know there was going to be a Game 5. I got to think it's going to be the biggest non-promotion night in Iowa Wild history tomorrow. A, it's Friday. Barnstormers are Saturday. iCubs are on the road. It's not going to be a night that you... I mean, it's going to be like this tomorrow, right?
Right, yeah.
Weather-wise?
Mm-hmm. So it's not a...
It's not as cool, but it's going to be... I think I just looked at my phone. 64 and sunny, but a low of 45.
But it's not one of those, hey, we got to be outside.
Yeah, we're not going camping this weekend, right? I just think it's got a chance to put a record number of people in the building tomorrow. It's a huge game. Huge game. Final home game. This might be the last time you get to see the Iowa Wild this year.
True, yeah.
Because the final two games will be in Chicago. If there is a Game 7, we know for sure there's going to be a Game 6, so Game 5 is here. And then off they go to Chicago for Game number 6. But tied up at 2 apiece. Way to go, Coach Army and the squad.
So I made it down there.
Oh, you went. I forgot to ask you.
Yeah, went.
Now, did you bring Ella?
Brought Ella.
How long did you stay?
We made it into the third.
You really did. Good for you.
And it was getting late and bedtimes, and she was scratching the eyes, and but she didn't want to leave. She liked the hockey guys. Now, one of her favorite parts was intermission.
The Zamboni, or?
Well, she enjoyed that, and she saw other kids that were riding it and wanted to ride it, so fortunately, I didn't have that kind of pull.
Daddy can make that happen next year.
We'll try to make that happen, yeah. She enjoyed the Zamboni, but she really liked the intermission because... I said they go back to their locker rooms, and she goes, "Yeah, where they live. They all live together." Not really, but kinda. Trying to explain it. But again, the action, the back. It is for a toddler that attention spans can be very brief.
Mm-hmm.
Hockey is a great sport for that. Periods don't last forever.
Uh-uh. Now,
baseball can be tough, very difficult.
Yes,
but she got her cotton candy, went over to the kids' zone. She took a couple swings with the hockey stick, about got plucked by an 8-year-old. That's a little scary, but she really had a great time. Wife and my brother-in-law also went with us. It was really fun. It really was. If you're thinking about it, if you're on the fence, go. Yeah, well, I haven't been to a Wild game in years.
No, I saw some of the highlights, Trent, and the building was into it.
Yes, absolutely. I love the season ticket holders, you know, the people that are really into it.
Mm-hmm.
Always the banging on the glass
yes.
and everything else, and all the chance that the different sections have to different people. It's a great environment. I really enjoyed it, and like I said, it's been years since I've been to a Wild game. I've been there for like school events back when I was teaching and those types of things. But to see something like that, be there in the evening as opposed to an afternoon or morning watching a game, It was a really good environment and got a cold one too.
That's a boy. Indeed.
I got my own designated driver, you know, right now.
Oh, you do? Oh, of course. Your wife's pregnant.
Yes.
I do. Your son is going to be born in August. So do they still do the chant 1 minute remaining in the first period? Thank you. Did they do
I didn't hear it.
I never understood that one. I mean, what?
Thanking the PA announcer?
I guess. Yeah.
Mark Pierce, our buddy.
Oh, was it Mark Pierce?
I know he, I don't know if he was that one. I think that was him last night.
I'm sure it was.
Yeah.
He's a guy down there. Well, good stuff. NBA last night, Trent, the Celtics just limped off into the night.
You're going to have to help. I mean, was it as bad as the highlights looked?
Yes.
Yeah, just
they just didn't want to be there. Look, Irving's a nice player, right? Mm-hmm. But he's...
As talented of a ball handler as there is in the league.
Trent, he at one point had taken 16 shots and had no assists. I mean, he shot six. He has no assists. He was just shooting every opportunity he would get. It would end up going 6-for-21 in the game. It's not like Milwaukee. It wasn't Milwaukee's best game by any means. It really wasn't. They just, the Celtics, I don't want to say quit because you would think that, you know, you're in the playoffs, but it seemed like they had, and Barkley said as much at halftime too. They got Cancun on the mind.
Uh-huh.
You know, they sense it's vacation season. It's not basketball playoff season. The other game, now I cashed in, I don't know, 10 minutes left in the basketball game. I just couldn't take it. But when Durant got hurt, did you see, were you home? Yeah, you were home, by then.
Yeah.
Yep. Durant gets, I thought the same thing as everybody did, right? It's Achilles.
Yeah.
For sure. I just saw the most dominant player in the playoffs, and I do believe it's him, tears Achilles. And oh my, does this ever change things going forward? Now, it still may, because it's a strained calf is what they've diagnosed it as. But boy, oh boy, Trent, that just opened the door for these Rockets to get back, and they did. I thought that there were times in this basketball game that the Warriors were going to win by 30.
Really?
I really did.
Wow.
They were up and they just, it was 17 apiece, I want to say. 17, 18, 19 apiece. It was 17. Because by the time the first quarter ended, it was like 31-17 or something like that. They just finished on a run at the end of the first quarter and really never looked back. It was 17 apiece and then they went on a 14-0 run to end the first quarter. And, you know, held serve in the next 12 minutes, and then
it was just it hovered around that 7-12 point range
for a long time,
for a really long time, and that's why I never felt like it was going to extend to that 20 plus point lead. I just
because Steph Curry hadn't scored.
Well, and Klay was so good early.
Oh my God, he was. And you talked about him yesterday about the fact that boy, where's he been in this series? He woke up in a big, big way. Yes, you're glad you mentioned him because he was absolutely on fire early. And you had to think, and he eventually would, Steph Curry would get going. And that was my take is, you know, Curry's not scoring. And look, they're having their way with this team.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, anyways, you know what you didn't miss by going to the hockey game last night?
What's that?
You didn't miss Cubs baseball because we were blacked out here in central Iowa.
Oh, really?
Yes, we were. The game was nowhere. Nowhere to be found. I don't want to talk about blackouts. We can do that show every day.
Yeah.
But it's just frustrating, right? I wanted to see Addison Russell I wanted to hear mostly, you know, the reaction when he came to the plate for his first plate appearance. Madden slotted him in the 8th spot last night. Met the media before the game. It's going to be a process, and it should be a process. You know, you just don't welcome this guy back with open arms. And there were apparently, again, blacked out, didn't see it, good smattering of boos when he came to the plate.
Okay.
Maybe more so in his second at bat, apparently, when he struck out.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. Played second base last night, and for the second straight night, another walk-off. Boy, these Marlins are playing the Cubs tough, aren't
they?
That's back-to-back-to-back nights. You know, save situation on Monday. Bryant walk-off on Tuesday, and Jason Hayward walk-off on Wednesday night. So, unbelievable. And the Cubs will play this afternoon. And here's why I'm looking forward to this game this afternoon. Well, a couple of reasons. I get to watch it because it's on NBC Sports Chicago. But B, more importantly, Yu Darvish is on the bump. So we'll get to see Darvish. Because he's really, I mean, Hendricks was, again, just going by the box score. Didn't see any of the game. Hendricks, 8 innings, 90-something pitches coming on the heels of his unbelievable performance on Friday night? Yes, Friday night, when he threw 86, 84 pitches and went the distance. But the Cubs are on the TV today. Let's get Dave in here. Dave, thanks for being patient. Dave, welcome to the program. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's going on?
I was just going to mention the Cubs were on last night.
No.
17.3. But it was great to see another walk-off win like that. So it was a lot of fun.
So how did you find it? So that's with the antenna, right? So that's when you go back to square one.
Right.
Gotcha. Yeah. How did you know that?
I saw it advertised on TV, actually.
Did you really?
Yeah.
It's because I checked 17. I went 5-17-23. And then I checked ESPN. Of course, I didn't think it was going to be there and went to 665 on DirecTV. And I think that was the White Sox. Well, thank you, Dave. So you think you, I wonder if there's a destination we can go to find those out.
Well, yes. On the station website for 17 and 23.
Yeah.
And 23 has it like for 5, and 17 has it for 17.3 as well. I used to be able to print them out. I can't print them out now. So I have to get on there often.
Gotcha. Hey, one more question, Dave, before I let you go, and I appreciate you taking the time here.
Sure.
Was I right regarding the crowd reaction when Addison Russell came to the plate? Was Twitter accurate with what they said, that there was a decent smattering of boos, and then when he struck out later, seemed to be a little bit more vocal? Is that what you heard?
Yeah, probably. It was 50-50 or 45-55, something like that. So, yeah.
Good stuff. Hey, Dave, listen, thanks for listening. Thanks for chiming in.
You bet. Thank you.
Yeah, good to talk to you. Appreciate that. So there you go.
Yeah, 17.3, and neither of us, probably because of we're DirecTV.
Well, I have one TV in my office, actually. It's not hooked up, so I could have, but
yeah,
I didn't know.
And same thing, I have spare bedroom. We have a TV that has that antenna on there. I never think of that.
I never would have thought of it.
It's... We both have to be better because we've had that happen a few different
times.
Last
year, I remember that. We've got
lineups out for today.
Oh.
For the Cubs, 121st pitch against the Fish.
Read this to me, and then we're going to do that golf promotion.
Yes, chance to win another grand.
Absolutely, just like our buddy Cody did.
Hayward, Bryant, Rizzo.
Hayward's batting, he's leading off?
He's leading off, playing right.
Okay.
4-5-6, Baez, Schwarber, Almora, Bodhi playing second, batting seventh. Davis behind the plate, and you, Darvish, on the bump.
So Russell gets the day off. Yes. Contreras gets the day off. Good stuff. We'll talk to Eddie Garcia. If you're a hockey fan, you're going to like this next segment. Mark Morehouse, in about 25 minutes, it's Miller and Condon. Before we do that, Trent, it's time to go for the green. Let's see if we can find another one of our listeners and see if we can help them get $1,000. Text the keyword water to 200-200 right now. It's your chance to win $1,000 cash. That's water to 200-200. Standard message and data rates apply. The Fanatics had a $1,000 winner yesterday. Cody Kessling from Kellogg, Iowa, took down a grand. Good for him. EKG Golf and KXNO will have another opportunity in the 11 o'clock hour. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460.
Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.
All right, welcome back. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO. Still to come this hour, Mark Morehouse, Cedar Rapids Gazette. And then we're going to get into, the sporting news. Bill Bender writes for them, shows us Sean Devaney. But right now, as we said, this guy spends more time on KXNO than any of the local hosts during the week. He's Eddie Garcia. You hear him overnight. Part of a couple of shows, Ben Mahler being one of them. Eddie, good to talk to you. How are you, Eddie Garcia?
I'm great. This is my favorite time of the year. Playoff hockey has been pretty wild and crazy, especially this year, and we're down to our final four, so things are good.
Indeed it is. Let me talk about what you guys do overnights on Fox, which we carry it, and I think you're finished here at 5 o'clock our time, and then we have an hour of Fox Sports preview before we go to the Morning Rush, which is our local morning show. Overnights, Eddie, it's a different shift. Clearly, everything is wrapping up, so you've certainly got a lot of content to discuss, and your updates seemingly, I would think, would write themselves, but you've been doing it for a while. Is there a slow time for you guys at Fox Sports Radio?
Well, speaking for me personally, being in the overnight, it's such a caller-driven experience. And, the third shift people are a different breed. Some of them have been winding down, shall we say, from the workday with their favorite beverage. And I mean, it's we have some real characters to call in, and we'll get regulars that will check in every now and then, and just become kind of part of this crazy, you know, mix that we have overnights. And I mean, we certainly talk our sports, but we have a lot of fun. It's not quite the same as something you'll hear during the daytime, which might be a little bit more serious, and it certainly would have more guests involved. But it's a lot of fun. I enjoy it. You know, it's not the easiest shift in the world when you have to come home and then go to sleep, and you have you know, different experiences with other people that you're living with. But it's a lot of fun. We really enjoy it.
Well, Eddie, we're here to talk about the Stanley Cup playoffs with you. First of all, how'd you become a hockey guy?
You know, I mean, just growing up in California, I loved all sports, and it really didn't get into hockey until later in life. But, you know, a big influence was Wayne Gretzky coming to L.A.,
yeah,
and the buzz that generated, and just got really interested in it. And then once they went to the Stanley Cup Finals, that was the first year I really followed the season from start to finish. And then, honestly, once they got into the playoffs and experiencing that playoff hockey, I was sold. I'm like, this is it. This is going to be one of my favorite sports, and it has been ever since.
More difficult to talk hockey with the two shows that you're on, Mahler or, of course, Clay Travis? Who's a bigger hockey fan out of those two?
I would say that Clay Travis actually is, and that's because of what the Nashville Predators have done where he's based.
And sure,
that market has really turned into a really great hockey market. Mm-hmm. And certainly when they got awarded that franchise, a lot of people scratched their heads and mm-hmm. thought, Nashville, hockey, it doesn't mix. But it really has been a great combination, and he's been on board with what the Predators have been doing, and so I think that's helped a lot.
Yeah, Predators and my Jets, boy, that's been a heck of a... Well, last year in the playoffs, and sadly both teams went out in the first round this year, and thought we'd see that again, but that's not the case. Well, you know, I want to go to San Jose with the Sharks, who've been, I don't want to say fortunate. The Game 7, they've had a couple of calls. I thought last night's was the right call by the letter of the law, if you will. Landeskog was going off the ice, but he was offside, and you know, you can look at it a couple of ways. Obviously, the Vegas Golden Knights, that was a whole other story. But at the same time, you know what? Don't allow three shorthanded goals, and they're in this thing. So San Jose's, like, I guess, got a little luck on their side in these Game 7 so far, Eddie.
Well, I will say this. They have certainly taken advantage of the opportunities that have been presented them. So, you know, I thought the call in the Vegas series was a really bad call, but at the same time, they had to take advantage of it. And it went overtime, and they still had to win it there as well. So, like I said, they've really taken advantage of their calls. I will say this for Sharks fans. I don't want to hear too much complaining from them going forward about calls they're not getting. But, look, the Sharks, at the beginning of the year, a lot of people picked them to come out of the West to represent the Western Conference in the final, picking up Erik Karlsson, you know, a two-time Norris Trophy winning defenseman at the beginning of the year, and then having the weapons that they have had, it's not a surprise that they are where they are. But as you said, they have gotten some breaks. They did lose their captain, Joe Pavelski, in that Vegas series on that controversial play. He came back last night, scored a big goal, and helped them to get into the Western Conference Finals. So fortunate, yes, but you know, making their own or making the most of their opportunities, yes, that as well.
Game one in the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. It'll be Saturday for the Blues and the Sharks. No hockey on Friday night. Good thing, bad thing by the NHL?
You know, I mean, I think it's okay. I they're going to have, you know, a game a night now pretty much going forward mm-hmm. after this Friday. So I like it better than what the NBA does where, you know, you've got sometimes two, sometimes 3 days off. I like knowing that you're going to have, you know, a hockey game pretty much every night except for this coming Friday. So I think it's okay.
You know, since Trent brought up the Eastern Conference, let's stay there. Boston, Brad Marchand is doing what Brad Marchand normally does, and he's the little ball of hate. You love him on your team, but you hate him when he's not. Rask has been unbelievable. Char is turning back the clock. Carolina, on the other hand, I don't know how they're doing it. I really don't. Justin Williams, who you know very well, is you follow the Kings. He's brought a lot of leadership to that room. Eastern Conference final. Boy, it sure seems like the Bruins are going to punch their ticket. Eddie, how do you see that one?
It's hard not to think that. You know, when you look at this Final Four, if you said at the beginning of the year, this is going to be the Final Four, the only one that you're really raising an eyebrow at is Carolina. And when you look at them, I think especially when you look at the goaltending, I mean, they've got a couple of journeymen in net, and they've used both of them so far in the playoffs, and Peter Mrazek and Curtis McElhaney. And McElhaney, you know, hadn't ever started a playoff game until a couple games ago. So, they've done a great job. They're riding a six-game winning streak. You know, they're the bunch of jerks, as Don Cherry dubbed them,
yes,
for their post-game celebrations. And they're just having fun with it, and they're running with it, and they're enjoying it. So, you know, they're the kind of the runt of the litter that's still left, but you never know. This playoffs has been as unpredictable as any in my lifetime following the sport. When all four division winners are out in the first round and the best team clearly all year is swept in the first round, I don't know what's going to happen. So it looks to me like it's probably going to be Boston and San Jose, but I've learned not to underestimate Carolina at this point. They certainly don't have any stars. And the goaltending, again, is manned by a couple of guys who have been around but never have been elite players. So I don't know how they're going to keep it going, but then again, I didn't think they'd get here in the first place. So it's been a fun story.
Well, the Blues are the local story here for us in the Midwest, and they're alive in the conference final, second time in 4 years. Haven't been to the Stanley Cup finals, though, since way back when their expansion team, the six teams that came in after the original six and made it the first 3 years, were swept each of those
and
3 years.
And Bobby Orr flew through the air.
You know, Eddie, the St. Louis, it is a franchise that hasn't had the big-time success there. In a way, could it feel like destiny? Maybe the time is there, the way this playoff bracket has opened up?
Well, it could be. And, you know, the Blues are, I have a soft spot for them because they came into the league the same time the LA Kings did, that first expansion mm-hmm. class. And they've never won the Stanley Cup. They're the only team from that group that has yet to win a cup. So I root for them. I know they've had a lot of tough times as far as heartbreak in their history. So maybe this is their year. You know, there were a lot of expectations coming into the season. And then, you know, in January, they were dead last in the NHL.
Yep.
Made a coaching change. And then the real thing that has solidified them has been their rookie goaltender, Jordan Binnington, who kind of came out of nowhere. He wasn't looked at as a savior. He wasn't looked at as the young guy who, once he finally ripens, is going to be the guy who leads us. They called him up, and he just ran with it. He was unbelievable in the regular season. 24-5-1, a goals against average under two, a save percentage of .927. That's outrageous. And he hasn't looked out of sorts at all in the playoffs. It doesn't look like the moment is too big for him. He's one of those guys, I think, similar to Martin Jones for San Jose. They're always cool, composed in net. You never see him get too high or too low. It's always about just making the next save. And he's really solidified things for them. I think he's going to be the rookie of the year, even though he only played in 30 games, but he was that good and that key to St. Louis's success. So they've been a great story. They feel like they finally got the goaltender they've always been looking for. And, again, Jordan Binnington, what an amazing story for the Blues and for the NHL this year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Eddie Garcia is our guest. You hear him overnight, Sunday night through Thursday night, right here on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO, a part of Ben Mahler and Clay Travis's show. Eddie, one more on hockey, then one just real quick football question for you regarding the Rams and the Chargers. But I know you like the Blues. I saw you pick before the playoffs started. I know you had the Blues knocking off my Jets. I was a little disappointed in your pick, but you were proven right, sadly. So you think it's going to be Sharks and Boston? Do you think, you know, if you could get the suits at NBC to, you know, at a quiet moment to tell you who they are rooting for as far as rating wise, does it matter? Would that be the best matchup?
Well, Boston for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, I think there's no doubt about that. I would think. I mean, look, San Jose. I mean, they represent a large market there in the Bay Area. It's not just San Jose or San Francisco and Oakland. They're kind of like, you know, the Golden State Warriors are kind of in that vein as well, where they don't try to portray themselves as Oakland's team, even though they're going to move to San Francisco here coming up soon. But they want that whole area, and it is a large media market up there. So I'm guessing that if you're NBC, first of all, you're praying that Boston makes it. And it's hard to say that, you know, for Carolina, but mm-hmm. yeah, the NBC is hoping it's Boston, and they'll take either or out west, but I think if they had their pick, they'd probably go San Jose too.
And last thing for you, with the Rams and the Chargers both in the same city, I know your wife is a big Chargers fan, so she's glad, I'm guessing, that they relocated to L.A. She may be one of the few, Eddie. Boy, it really is the haves and the have-nots, isn't it? The Rams, so much love, and the Chargers, kind of, not that they're not welcome, but boys, they seem from where we sit like they're the afterthought.
Yeah, no, there is that. I mean, because, first of all, you've got the Rams, and there's a feeling of them coming home.
Right.
And then you've got the Chargers, and, you know, it's a different feeling. Even though, you know, San Diego isn't that far away, and my wife and I made the drive every Sunday when they were playing home games to go down there and watch it. And, you know, it was certainly a drive, but it wasn't, you know, insane. It wasn't something that, you know, was too crazy. It was, you know, 2.5 hours and 3 hours back. But... yeah, there is it's an odd feeling because, you know, everyone, I shouldn't say everyone, but there were a lot of people still here in LA that wanted the Rams to come back home, and then no one here really wanted the Chargers. And then suddenly, you know, we were without NFL football for so long, and then now we've got two teams. It's an odd situation. The Chargers are doing their best to, you know, to try and get a foothold here, but it's not easy. I think a lot of Chargers fans, some of them are starting to warm up to the idea of, well, maybe it's not so bad. I mean, yeah, they're not in our city anymore, but you're starting to see kind of a thawing a little bit from some of the people in San Diego that still want to follow the team and still want to have a team of their own. But it's going to be a process for them. You know, I think getting into the new stadium will certainly help. The stadium they're playing in now, it's certainly, there's no bad seats. In the soccer stadium that they're playing in, and you know, maybe that's the future of the NFL with the in-home experience being so great. Maybe we'll eventually go to the smaller stadiums and kind of have that be as good an experience as possible. But yeah, you know, the Rams being back and then going to the Super Bowl, there's a lot of people here who are kind of jumping back on the bandwagon. But for the Chargers, it's going to take a little bit more work for them to get a foothold here. But you know, look, it's like with anything. It'll take time, but if they're successful, people will eventually start to become fans of that team.
Get some sleep. Thanks for staying up for us, Eddie. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you before the Cup final.
Always a pleasure, and I will be getting some sleep very soon. Thank you very much.
Good to talk to you. Thanks, Eddie. So long.
Thank you.
Yep, Eddie Garcia, Fox Sports Radio, as he chimes in here before he hits the hay. He's back at it tonight. This is his, you wouldn't call it a Thursday night, because he just got off.
Right.
He's on the air tonight. And then he's done till Sunday night. Would you like that shift come in Sunday midnight? Not have to work Friday midnight?
Yeah, I think so. NFL.
Oh, my God, yeah.
I mean, a chance to instant react to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fun in the fall, no doubt about
it.
It's
pretty good, yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Well, Eddie Garcia, again, part of overnights here on KXNO Fox Sports Radio, Clay Travis, as well as the Ben Mahler Show. Eddie Garcia, Puck Podcast is where you can hear Eddie's podcast. He does a lot in the NHLs year-round, and really a popular podcast for NHL fans.
Do you remember I mentioned the Blues made those first three Stanley Cup finals when
Bobby
they expanded?
Yeah, Bobby Orr flew through the air and scored the game winner. Do you remember that in 1960?
68
was it?
67-68 season is when the new six came in.
Okay, yeah, I know. I remember well. California Golden Seals was one of them.
Yes.
Are you asking me for the other teams? Who? I will figure this out. Do we have time to do this now?
Sure.
I think
we
do. Okay. So the teams that came in 1967.
You got the difficult one with the Oakland Seals.
Were they Oakland or California? Did the Sabres come in that year?
They did not.
Okay, they came in at the same time as the Canucks. Pittsburgh did.
Yes.
Philadelphia did.
Yes.
The Blues did.
Yeah.
Did the North Stars.
They did.
Yes?
They did.
Okay. How many is that?
That's five of the six, and he mentioned the other one.
Not Nashville.
How he became a fan.
Oh, the LA Kings.
There you go, yes. So those are the six.
Two in California, two in Pennsylvania. The St. Louis Blues.
And the Western Conference Finals was North Stars Blues that year.
North Stars Blues that year, was it? And Boston beat who?
Montreal.
Probably so. That would make sense.
Beat Chicago that year. 67-68. So maybe the year you were thinking of was maybe the following season?
It might have been, because I thought Orr was a rookie. You've seen the statue, right, outside of
Boston
when he flies through the air?
Yep.
He beat the St. Louis Blues in Game 4. Barkley Plager was on the night at ice. I think Glenn Hall was the goalie.
All-star team, first team that year.
In 60 what?
The 67-68 year.
And how many guys were on the all-star team? Is this one all-star team?
The five starters and...
Bobby Hull.
Correct.
Jean Béliveau.
No.
It wasn't Béliveau.
He was a rookie that year.
Okay. Stan Mikita?
Yes.
Gordie Howe?
Yes.
Who'd have been the goalie?
And this is the six names, the one I never heard of.
What's the initials?
GW.
GW.
Not Bush.
No.
Gump.
Gump Worsley, the Gumper, of course. His first name's Lauren.
And Tim Horton, the other.
Oh, and Tim Horton, who you know what Tim Horton is famous for, right?
Of course, the restaurants.
Indeed, it was.
Yes.
They put his name on him. That's good stuff as we turn back the clock for you. For the one old-time hockey fan out there, we will take a break. Mark Morehouse covers the Hawkeyes for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Hawk Talk next, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460K.
24-hour sports anywhere in the world on iHeartRadio. This is 1460 KXNO.
All right, welcome back. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO with you until noon. College football conversation with Bill Benner from the Sporting News, 11:15. NBA conversation with Sean Devaney of the Sporting News at 11:40. Right now, let's talk some Hawks and some pucks. Sorry, Trent. With Mark Morehouse, Cedar Rapids Gazette.
I enjoyed our last segment.
I know you did. You were into it. You were at the game last night, for crying out loud.
It's springtime. This is the time I watch hockey.
Indeed. You're not alone. Mark Morehouse does year-round. So do I. How are you, Mark?
Hey, how are you guys?
Doing pretty well. A couple things before we get to the Hawks. The Final Four, we're down to four in the NHL. Sharks been living well. Got a big break last night with the disallowed goal. It was the right call by the letter of the law, I think. And then, of course, you had the Game 7 against the Golden Knights when they had that major penalty that shouldn't have been. They're living well, and they get the St. Louis Blues. Do you have I know you're a Blackhawks fan, so it's probably hard to root for the Blues, but if you had to pick one team, who would you like to see raise the cup?
The Blues have really impressed me. A lot of size, a lot of speed, getting just the right amount of goaltending, and they're really hard to play against.
They really are.
You could tell that they grind. They've got the size really kind of comes into play, and I think they just have the younger legs, and I think they probably prevail over the Sharks. I want Carolina to win. I think Boston is inevitable to win the cup because Boston has, I think, the best leaders in sports, and Patrice Bergeron is a Dano Chara. I think they're kind of inevitable. I'd love to see the Sharks win it all, just because why not? I mean, Joe Thornton is, I think he's 50.
yeah, he looks it, yeah.
I'd love to see that fan base get some payoff after so much heartbreak.
You guys good?
Yeah, I'm done.
You're good.
You talk Hawks. Let's move on.
All right. Mark Morehouse, your expertise certainly is the Iowa Hawkeyes on the Iowa beat. We're a couple weeks removed now from spring football. It is becoming spring storylines into summer stories. Mark, is there a guy that you now look back upon? You know, the Nico Reganis that we talked about, those guys that just don't really have a full resume. Is there a guy that you talked up in the spring and now, as summer approaches, you're starting to reevaluate, maybe going too far in some of the hype?
Well, I'm so muted in the hype anymore. I didn't really buy in with Tyrone Grayson last year as a true freshman. I was on the podcast. I really thought that he would engage right away. I think there's still something good coming there, and I know people have, I don't like making predictions for other people's futures right away like that, but I do think there'll be some guys who come up. I think Nico Reganis hype is real a little bit. I think they really need that position to kind of grow. So, the hype trains, I try to really be cautious on those. But with A.J. Epineza, let it rip. I mean, I'm not crazy. He's going to be really great. And I think, obviously, for the line, probably pretty important element in what going forward with what the Hawkeyes might will or won't be in 2019.
I know you had an opportunity. You were in Johnson. There was a clinic over here last weekend. Yeah. I want to say, Mark, it was a kids' clinic, but seemingly, potentially, possibly, you gleaned something from it. What was your takeaway from what you saw, if any?
Just nothing that we saw. It was very special, a little bit afterward. Shane Neiman, you know, obviously he's coming on board. Has friends out who played for Farron. Comes in pretty good, not a good resume at Rutgers, but it was a good job for a little while to have. And Rutgers, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with that program, but talking about Jay Neiman and how important, in my mind, the Reese Morgan recruiter position is, if you think about it, Ferentz is not messing around with Iowa. They're going to have four different voices recruiting in Iowa. Brian Ferentz being one in Eastern Iowa, LeVar Woods in Northwest Iowa. Oh, I'm blanking on how the rest of it breaks down, but Jay Neiman is going to be kind of the overarching guy. And if you think about Iowa recruiting, you know, in the state of Iowa, yeah, they need to glean maybe three to five scholarship guys every year. But then I think about 20 to 25% of Iowa's roster is Iowa players. I mean, whether they're scholarship or walk-on. So it's a very important part of what Iowa does, being a presence in Iowa, being honest with Iowa prospects and letting them know where they stand and getting what you need.
Mark, you write Cruit Loops, as you like to call it.
Yeah, on recruiting.
I absolutely love that. It's a great term. But, you know, recruiting does seem a little bit different. Iowa hasn't made some kind of significant leap, and now they're perennially in the top 20 recruiting rankings-wise. But there has been a small step forward, and it feels like Iowa, even though it's been now 21 years for Kirk Ferentz, maybe more than ever, feels like they know what they are and they know what they're looking for on the recruiting trail. Would that be fair?
Yeah, I think that is fair, and I think they're getting some free advertising. I think the tight end position,
sure,
they're gonna have a guy there for a while, I think, and I think maybe for the next two recruiting cycles, they're gonna have guys. Defensive line, I think, is starting to kind of take off a little bit for Iowa, and once Iowa gets that, you know, I think that marks you as a contender every year in the Big Ten West. If you can field a good defensive line, you're going to be in the race. So I think they've got a little bit of recruiting. They should get a little bit of recruiting bump from AJ Epinesa and what Chauncey Golston do this year and whoever else, and they don't want to leave anybody out. But I think offensive line this year will, you know, Iowa has always had the offensive line thing, you know, really, really in gold. This year with two tackles who probably will go to the NFL, really has that talent. Everybody's talking about maybe going to the NFL, and no one's going, no way. Everyone's going, yeah, probably, maybe. So I think you'll see offensive line recruiting kind of get a bump in that. I think the free advertising is kids see the opportunity, and they're smart enough to kind of put two plus two together.
Mark, a lot is being made this last couple of weeks. The 2019 schedule is potentially as difficult a schedule as they've had in some time, and of course that is all part and parcel with the crossover games that you're assigned. And the Hawks have been fortunate. Let's be honest, they've been fortunate most years, anyways, to avoid the heavy heads from the East. But this year, there's no Ohio State, there's no Michigan State, but there's Michigan, Penn State, and Rutgers. And including back-to-back weeks, starting October in Ann Arbor, home to Penn State. Boy, oh boy, we'll know a lot about this team. Well, we'll know after the Iowa State game, I believe. But boy, if you're still wondering, you get to the middle of October, you'll have a pretty good idea after those two crossover games are behind them.
Absolutely. Crossover games are a huge factor in the Big Ten, and anybody who disagrees can't use logic. The crossover games are, you know, last year? Maryland, Indiana, Penn State. And Iowa was 2-1 in those, and that's a boost. They were better. They losing to Purdue and Northwestern are easier to take when you can handle the crossover. So, yeah, this year it amps up. And I think in 2020, I think it's, is it Penn State, Ohio State, and Michigan State? I think it's something like that. I think the crossover scheduling is a big part of it. And I think Iowa's schedule this year, I'm starting to kind of get into it a little bit. I'm starting to write, you know, a little bit about the teams that they're facing. You talk about scheduling. Opener, Iowa, the Francis first 2 years, he had some Hayden Fry openers. Nebraska. Kansas State, I think Kansas State was a Hayden Fry production, but I might be wrong on that. But since then, it's been, I think, 10 back schools, one Mountain West, 7 FCS. So, you know, they're scheduling a win there. But I really think Iowa schedules what it needs to be overall. They're on the road every other year, non-conference-wise at Iowa State, Power 5 school. And then they're going to fill in with 9 conference games, and then they're going to fill in with a MAC level
program and probably an FCS or somewhere along those lines. I think that's what Iowa's schedule needs to be. Mm-hmm. This year, you bring up that stretch in October. I think the November, I'm sorry, the September. Rutgers, yeah, I think Rutgers will be a win, but then it is the Big Ten opener, week two. And then the next week is Iowa State. I think you're right, Ken. I think Iowa State is the alarm clock. You have to find out what you are and want to be for the entire season.
With that, you get into the divisional play a little bit later on in the season and that run through Purdue, Northwestern, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, Nebraska. Who is the favorite? I've heard your colleague on the On Iowa podcast, Scott Dockerman, call the Hawkeyes his favorite in the Big Ten West. Who's Mark Morehouse?
Boy, that's a coin flip.
I would say right now, I think I was in it. I would say Wisconsin is probably my default there. But I think there's tiers right now, and I think the top two tiers are pretty close. I think Iowa, Northwestern, and Wisconsin are probably realistic front runners right now, and that's how I'm kind of grouping it, just because you know we don't really know a ton about these teams right now. Wisconsin does need to bounce back. Northwestern lost a program quarterback, so we'll see. They're getting a five-star quarterback and a transfer, so in Northwestern, it's kind of a wild card there. Second tier, I'm looking at Purdue, Nebraska, and I'm blanking on the other one. Purdue, Nebraska, and
Minnesota.
Not Illinois.
Minnesota.
But Minnesota, there you go. What do I always forget about Minnesota? I think it's their coach, but he needs some more advertising. But, you know, I wouldn't roll out that crew. I thought Minnesota's win over Wisconsin at the end of the last year really kind of opened my eyes. I thought, Minnesota, you know, after Iowa, you know, scored a ton of points against Minnesota, I thought they were dead in the water. They woke up. And so I think that I kind of like the way the Big Ten West is setting up. I think it's going to be one of the more interesting divisions in college football this year.
I do, too.
It's not going to be, you know, it's still going to be football that people don't necessarily love. But I think it's going to be, I think the teams are competitive, and Purdue's on the rise, and that really has made the conference interesting, I think.
New quarterbacks, Northwestern, Wisconsin, in all likelihood, because I think Mertz is going to win that job, but we'll see.
Yeah, I agree.
Mark, we're out of time. We'll do more next week. Appreciate you coming on. Thank you, Mark Morehouse. Cedar Rapids Gazette is where you can read Mark. Good. Thank you.
Take care, guys. Thank you.
Good to talk to you. Mark Morehouse. Cedar Rapids Gazette as we run out of hour number one. But there's another one to go. We're going to talk some college football with Bill Bender. Does Bill Bender think that game day's going to Ames? We'll ask him. Then we'll do some NBA with Sean Devaney, their national NBA writer. It's Miller and Condon. We're here till noon on Des Moines Sports Station, 1460 KXNO.